Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a podcast hosted by international award-winning author, two-time TEDx speaker and investor, Natalie Torres-Haddad. She will share the tips and tricks from interviews with self-made entrepreneurs, leaders, and those who have attained financial freedom while learning financial literacy.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. I am so excited to share with you today, who was our moderator for our panel at Lola Retreat in Seattle, Ms. Paulette, and she'll tell you more about what she's been up to. But being able to be in the same space of women that are talking about money, talking about everything about money, whether it's real estate, investing in stocks, whether talking about your financial hardships, is not only empowering, but one important thing that I'm walking away from this entire retreat is that when women get together, miracles can happen. And just over lunch, we were just talking about the tips that we, or more than importantly, kind of saying like the things that we did not know until we started doing it ourselves, whether it was in podcasting itself, whether it was writing a book or getting freelance work, and no one really prepares you for it. And she can definitely tell you her journey. And even when you're traveling abroad, so I think you and I have that connection too, where I'm like, yes, when you're traveling, you figure it out as you go and you stand out half of the time when you're traveling. So I think that has a lot to do with also being money smart too, because most people don't get an opportunity to travel for more than a week. And for me, that's my big deal. Like, if I'm going to travel, I want to travel to about 3 weeks to a month, you know, and I think people would love to hear how you came about doing that too. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
And why don't you tell a little people what you've been up to, what you have coming up as well?
So I just had a book come out, Welcome to the Writer's Life, and I keep a blog at welcometothewriterslife.com. I love talking about all the things that make a writer thrive, which to me is craft, business, personal finance, and joy. So I am a writer who helps writers be writers and stay financially sane while I work on that myself.
Well, I need the, I like what you said, I help writers be writers, and I'm like, I totally need you, because it's part of the kind of what we start doing our own craft, and it evolves into something else. Mm-hmm. For me, I never thought about writing a book. It was, I just wanted to give out some helpful financial tools. Mm-hmm. That eventually started, you need to add literature in that, right? Mm-hmm. So she's the person you want to contact if you're in, just starting out, and I'm going to definitely reach out to her too, because that's a way to not only monetize on what you're doing with your expertise, it's a great resume builder for yourself. Mm-hmm. I think that was the best thing I learned from my mentor. So you no longer have to pitch yourself when someone has read your book and be like, oh, she's an expertise in this.
Totally. And I think, you know, talking about writing as something that is valuable to the market, because it really is. I had one example in my book where my sister got surgery and I felt like I was going to kill her in the aftercare because I could not understand the instructions they gave us. And I was like, hello. And there's so many examples of, you know, bad writing and boring writing really bringing down a business. It's important. I sold $10 million of tech products over 3 years with 200 proposals I wrote myself.
Wow.
And I learned about persuasive writing and I was like, this is a skill that is so important.
And major companies reach out to her. I mean, tell us your Twitter.
So I just know this is the thing that happened, but the New York Times reached out to me on Twitter to invite me to write something. And I was just like,
and that's every writer's dream. Really.
Yeah, it really, I mean, usually you're like pitching and you hear no. Mm-hmm. I actually publish all my rejections on Instagram. You can see screenshots of all my rejections.
I never high five right now.
You get them all the time, constantly. So for someone to come to you and be like, do you want to write this? They're just like, oh my gosh. So, you know, they liked the conversation that I had going about money on Twitter, and it had something to do with money and art. And that was really, really cool.
Yeah.
And that's unpaid time that you're chasing work. So to have that be zero time chasing work, it was great.
So you're working smart, not harder.
You're trying to.
And that's the whole goal. It's part of that journey, right? Some people think it's just going to happen overnight. You've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it has been, I really tried every shortcut in the book to be a writer without having to go through the years of hard work. I was like, maybe I'll just meet people and be cute. I'm like, hire me at the New Yorker for an internship. Right. And the world was like, no, you're not here.
But the nice thing too, I see you become this representation for women, because you said you don't really see, especially in the New York Times, it's so awesome that it's coming from a perspective of yours. Her podcast alone is this fun way of not listening to your traditional podcast. And I can just explain a little bit more about what you have. Your intros are not intros.
So my podcast is Can We Talk About Money? And to me, it's like an auditory reality show about money. So I wanted to sound like you're eavesdropping on people talking about money. So there's no intro, there's no outro, no music. I don't introduce anybody. We just start talking. And I love recording out in the real world where, you know, just whenever something weird starts happening, one of my favorite episodes is when my family and I get to a cruise and we start talking about like how much money we're going to spend on the cruise or not, and like how terrible we are at budgeting and we have no idea what's going on.
And once you start drinking, that whole budget goes out the window.
Oh yeah, we start drinking during the podcast often. Yeah, and so one of the things I do is I have a monthly money dinner with my friends where we get together, and this was, I have kept track of my money monthly for years, and I skipped 4 months in a row. And I was like, because you don't want to look. And so I knew, I was like, I'm going to make it a social thing so I can't get out of it. And so I invite everyone over, I make dinner, we eat, we talk about money, then we get our laptops out. And minimum, we all just calculate our net worth and graph it and see how it's changed over the last month.
Wow, talk about kind of accountability and transparency, right?
Yeah, and a lot of people had never, like one started bursting out laughing and I said, like, what's your net worth? They're like, I have no idea. Like, no idea even what you're talking about.
Ah, I like that, because then all of a sudden you start learning not only just new terms, you start to really have to reflect on looking at yourself honestly and brutally sometimes, mm-hmm. especially depending where you are in life. When you lose a job, when you finally got a new job, or, you know, trying to figure out how you manage all of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And for you, I think earlier you were talking about, you know, when you're traveling and you come back, then you have this mentality of, okay, I need to work smart, I need to work fast, because guess what? The bill starts piling on, as opposed to when you're maybe abroad where things are a lot cheaper, let's
yes.
be honest.
Yeah.
I love South America, I love Central America, and even parts of Europe, it's like, you know, it's a lot less expensive to be there for a few months as opposed to living in, she lives in Seattle, so what's the most expensive
yeah.
to rent?
And it's been crazy, actually, I've talked about this a lot on the podcast, where you are over, so I've been here 8 years, and over those 8 years, my career has progressed so much, but also the city has gotten so much more expensive, so it's like, I feel like I'm swimming against a tide, where I feel like, okay, well, I should be able to go out to lunch, but it's like, nope, still no, because your standard of living changes so much when the price of your city goes up.
Yeah.
And so that's been a really weird thing to navigate. I feel like I'm personally just treading water, but I have to forget there is that huge, like, incoming tide of not inflation, but, like, the price, the cost of living going up is really working against me. So that's really, really tough.
Well, that's part of it when you see these big cities that are now becoming bigger cities. And by the way, if you hear some back noise, like, we just had this great movement, the cart, we're in the Seattle Art Museum, where the Lola Retreat has been hosted the last 2 days. But this is what podcasters do, too. It's like, you get an opportunity to meet someone, and you're like, hey, let's have one here instead of just over the phone or Zoom,
yeah.
or however we do it.
Maybe the hallway.
Exactly. We were talking about, like, Podcast Movement, FinCon, all these other, where, like, that's part of the point when you go to these places, like Lola Retreat, where you get to see these women and be like, oh my God, I've been following you forever. I read your book. It's so great to finally see you in person. So I had to snag her away during lunch.
Yeah.
Before we get back into it.
Non-controlled in my life.
and I mean, I think, and today too, she managed to keep the panel was incredible. It was all women about real estate investing. It's the elevator down the hall. And she kept it going. We were talking about values. Like, for you, it's like, what do you prefer as opposed to maybe someone else? Maybe you can talk about how you decided to live in the city.
Yeah, it's so funny. Talking about living your values. I'm going to get home today and I'm going to sit my boyfriend down and be like, okay, like, let's just list out our values. And I think I know, like, for him and for me, it's definitely like freedom. You know, I bought a house when I was 24, 25. And all of a sudden I was like, wait, I need a lawnmower. And then I was like, oh, my lawn's getting really long. I have to, like, mow it. And then I lived in Florida, so I'm like, I have to mow this, like, every week in the summer.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is so much more responsibility. So we both love to travel, so we really want to be light on our feet. So I live in I live right in the middle of the city on the same block as a writing center that's been kind of the center of my community for the last 8 years. And one of the issues with gentrification is that you lose a lot of your community. A lot of my artists
are functionally run out, right?
Yeah, totally. So a lot of my friends moved down to Tacoma, which is an hour away, and that's really becoming like the arts capital, but I am very invested in Seattle, and I don't really want to leave. So my value is community. That's really what I am living for right now, to pay so much to live really close to that writing center. I lived in a 150 square foot apartment for a year.
Wow.
In Seattle, that was pretty extreme. That was the year that I was writing my book and making no money and working my butt off. And I had just gone to South America for 3 months, so that was my penance.
It was also not a bad thing, actually.
It was not a bad thing. And also, it was like a cute apartment, and it was a good experience. I really liked it. I have an article I can send you about it.
Oh, I love that.
And now we live in 600 square feet, which is not easy as a couple.
Right.
My desk is a corner of our living room, and it's an IKEA shelf. It's like a regular shelf.
Yeah.
And I have a monitor put up. So I have to throw away a lot of my books. I still have a storage unit that's $73 a month that I like have to get out of because it's ridiculous.
But you're teaching a really good base of, like, I love always referring people to the minimalism. Minimalist, especially if you haven't seen the documentary or the podcast.
I'm out of room.
Exactly. But you doubled your space. You said from 150 to 600, technically 300 each, right? But it's understanding that you also have, you just said a long term, it's like, well, you love to travel, you love to have a little bit more of a community sense in the city. And I think, especially in our age group too, when you see, I think in any age group, I guess, right? As far as what do you really value for yourself? If you want to have the opportunity to do more podcasting, well, guess chances are you need to meet people in the city, right? Mm-hmm. So I think you're hitting all these points where you've managed to make the best out of small spaces. And the moment you said 150, I remember at one point I was living in Venice with a roommate that my bed was functioning in a closet. No joke. This is like a full-size bed inside. It was technically a walk-in closet, and it was a studio.
Oh my God.
I look back and I'm like, what the hell? But it was also a cool experience because I was walking distance to the beach.
Right? Yeah.
You know, so those are things that you kind of keep in perspective. And I kept on telling myself every time I go to sleep and I look up and all our clothes are Mexico.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, what am I doing? And then I had to remind myself, this is temporary. And soon and I was saving for a puppy at the time too. So those are things you have to remind yourself. What is your trajectory in the next 5, the next year?
Mm-hmm.
And it's
hard to even know that for myself because everything's changing so much. So I think one of the things of being like, okay, well, am I going to be a renter forever? Like we had just, speaking of values, like we just got, my boyfriend got 2 days off the work week and I was like, oh my God, we don't have anything to do for like 3 days. I'm like, okay, I'm throwing stuff together. Let's go camping. So we went all around like Olympic Peninsula, which is one of my favorite places in the world. Went camping in the whole rainforest, and elk walked through our thing. And like,
oh my God.
I have this tattoo that's actually like, it looks like a pop up book.
It's
beautiful. It's all like rivers and there's mountains and fire. And like, this is what my life is about. It's just like pop up adventures and that freedom of time that really, like, the Peace Corps spoiled me on. Of just like wild times and just being like, what are we doing? Oh, we're going here. We're going to stay for 4 days. Like, you know, just that looseness of time and being able to kind of flow with the weather, like, oh, it's Saturday, but it's raining, so I'm going to do all my emails today, so that on Monday, when it's really sunny, I can do a hiking. Like, I just love that more kind of natural way of living. So that's a really big value for us.
And you're not as attached to the materialistic side of things, and I know that's really hard in big cities, right? Like, being in Seattle or LA, I mean, it's like, everyone's kind of car you're driving, like, why does that matter?
I constantly feel like I wish my clothes were better, and
that's normal.
Yeah, you know, my neighborhood is kind of like walking around to my Instagram post, and I'm like, I'm at the grocery store. I have a t-shirt on. Is that a cool t-shirt? Like, I have sneakers. Just don't look at me. Like, can I just have like a burlap sack I can walk around in when I'm just not feeling like looking like I have long hair, please? Can my Florida come out for a second?
And I like how you said that. It's kind of, we don't live in Instagram world, so I think that's really cool to be able to show people that. It's the Insta happy that we show, right? And that's not reality. You know, half of the time you're like, I always look like crap. I rarely wear makeup. And, you know, it's a big deal when you are.
I think about taking pictures of what I actually look like when I'm freelance writing, and I mostly don't get the guts to do it.
Oh,
but I'm just like, my kitchen's messy. I'm wearing my nightgown. Like,
oh, my hair's up in a bun.
Yeah.
I'm watching some podcasters that won't tell you they didn't do video prior. So I'm like, that would have been helpful.
No, that's essential information.
But it's okay. And I've done about 3 that way. No, I'm not going to mention that.
And it's okay.
Because at the same time, like, you know, this is what I look like when I am working from home. So I'm okay with that in that sense. But I know that's also like, well, my Instagram needs to show part of that. So I can move.
And if you stand a freelancer up for a video meeting, that should have jail time. Because you're like, do you know what I did? Do you know what I did here?
Yes.
So yeah,
that's our time, literally. Women, it takes us longer to get ready sometimes.
Yes.
So we definitely see that. Well, before we end, can you tell us how people can find you, connect
to
you?
So I'm on Twitter at Paulette Perhatch. My last name is P-E-R-H-A-C-H. Instagram is Paulette J Perhatch. I don't know what happened. My website is Can We Talk? Oh, not Can We Talk About Money. That's my podcast. My website is Welcome to the Writer's Life.
Thank you. And I forgot to ask you the one question I ask everyone. Do you still remember the first check cash that you received that made you think differently from the 9 to 5? Like, oh, I can do something completely different.
Let me think. From the 9 to 5? Okay, I'm going too far.
You're separate from the 9 to 5.
Separate from the 9 to 5. Yeah, I am. I have a writer's course that I sell, and people actually started buying it. And I actually just put in an invoice for $1,200. That was all passive. And so it wasn't the first time that I'm just like, damn, okay, yeah, $1,200. And the only time I did was counting them and putting them on the invoice. That's pretty amazing. So that's where I'm headed towards.
I love that. And so obviously, hopefully those at risk, I already thought of a few ways I can create some passive income just from that. So
I think, yeah, passive income is all about creating a certain amount of value that is dislodged from the time element. Usually we equate time with value. That's not necessarily true, and I think the internet and technology have split that gap wide open in a way that people who realize that and take advantage are really going to benefit from.
Perfect. So stay tuned for more episode of Financially Savvy 20 Minutes. Thank you all for being part of this, and we'll see you in the next one.
Bye.
To learn more about the podcast, check out financiallysavvyin20minutes.com. For more interviews, make sure you look up Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes on YouTube and Instagram TV. To hire the trailblazer, as Forbes featured her the financial and mental health advocate for your next workshop or speaking engagement, follow Natalie at Financially Savvy Latina on all social platforms. All it takes is 20 minutes daily to become financially savvy. Music by Nikki and produced by Robert DeLude.